Well, it's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians. Just pulling one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to begin the message. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. A lot of option in this world. A lot of options in this old world. You know, I think of this city alone. Fast food. Less fast food. Not so fast food. Restaurants. And their varying types. You know, where to go. And what to eat. The Message paraphrase, you know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. Preference plays a part, no doubt. The type of food one favors, the flavors one favors, cultural favorites, drive-through, stand-up or sit-down, establishments, menus, a lot of items. Have you ever looked at a menu and been overwhelmed by the volume of options? Like a diner, and you're wondering how on earth they can be good at cooking all these dishes. Such an extensive range of options. Have you ever looked at a menu and been underwhelmed? Or what of a menu that's just right? You see, there are many reasons we choose certain food establishments over others. Proximity, accessibility, availability, ease, ambiance, reviews, can't always trust them, craving, appetite, and of course, cost. Sure, we can eat at home depending on the fare, but how many have found that it's not necessarily cheaper these days to eat at home? But let's set this aside for now. Cost. You know, some places cost more. Time and money. Feeding a family of six, head for the drive-thru, or at least find a menu. I need to find a place with enough options to appeal to everyone in the group. You know, one thing is certain. These bodies of ours need food, fuel, nourishment. Bodies. And what of soul and spirit? We witness day in and day out a world of people fueling the body. Not all good. Not all good fuel. Not all same grade. Not all same level. Nevertheless, the stomach hungers. The Living Bible, an appetite for food and stomachs to digest it. A world in the pains of hunger. A world in hunger pains. An audible grumbling. You know, I'm sure we've all witnessed the desperate, in desperate need of a morsel. The hunger of the stomach can bring a man to his knees. The hunger of the stomach can drive a man to insane things. The hunger of the stomach can drive a man mad. The hunger of the stomach renders one easily irritated, been there. In extreme cases, we may end up eating something we never would otherwise. The hunger of the stomach. Has ever one lived that did not feel, that has not to some degree felt the cry, the plea? Fast, in times of fasting, you know, even the worldly acknowledge the benefits of fasting. But we know. We know we will need intake again. A world concerned with the feeding of the body, and a body in the world concerned with the feeding of the spirit, soul, and body. True, some unbelievers feed their soul and spirit, but with what? If they only knew how important the feeding of the soul and spirit, and that those with dead souls and spirits would, by divine intervention, feel the pangs of hunger again and for the very first time. Well, if we were to go around this room today asking, where's your favorite place to eat and what type of food, there would be a score of answers. As a father, I ask my children, what do you want to eat? Steak. True story. How about tube steak? You know, Oscar Mayer wieners. And here's where we take a seat today. Steak. Not cheap. The steakhouse, not cheap. The steakhouse costs. The steakhouse costs more than the other options out there. The steakhouse costs more. It takes more time. More time than the fast food joints, especially the drive-through. I mean, how is it possible that the food is bagged and out the window by the time you turn the corner? Concerning? Perhaps you're not a meat eater in the natural. That's just fine. Perhaps you're not a real fan of steak in the natural. That's just fine, too. Perhaps you wouldn't pick the steakhouse. Well, the good news is that this isn't only for the steakhouse crowd today. In the natural, in the world we live in, we might not all be able to frequent and eat at the same restaurants, but spiritually speaking, we can all eat at the steakhouse. Number one, steakhouse. And oh, for a generation, children and youth that ask for the steakhouse, long for the steakhouse, even pine for the steakhouse. We are talking about strong meat. The KJV, meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. The Wycliffe Bible, meat to the womb and the womb to meats. The belly, the womb, the stomach. And what of the spirit? What of the soul? The word belly in the King James Version, the whole belly, the entire cavity. It speaks of the womb, the place where the fetus is conceived and nourished until birth. This is worth noting. The innermost part of a man, the soul, the heart, as the seat of thought, feeling, and choice. Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat, it's in the Bible, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The words of Charles Spurgeon: in most large houses, we shall find humanity in all its stages. We shall see the infant in its cradle, children laughing in their play, young men working with vigor, and the old man resting in peace. In such a mansion, if a careful Martha be in charge, provision will be made for all the different ages. There will be milk provided for the babies, and the larder, that is the storeroom or the cold room, will not be without solid meat for the grown-up men. Now, in our Father's great house, his family is always so large that you will always find believers in all stages of growth. Perhaps there is never a moment in the year in which there is not a new birth unto God by the Holy Spirit. The sighing of repentance and the crying of simple faith are always in our Heavenly Father's ears, giving him delight. He hath many babes, and for these he hath abundance of nourishing food. But we bless his name that they are not all babes in the house. Some are young men who are strong and have overcome the wicked one. And there are a few fathers who have known him, that is, from the beginning. 1 Peter 2, 2-5, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The J.B. Phillips New Testament reads, newborn in God's family. And you should be crying out for unadulterated spiritual milk to make you grow up to salvation. And so you will if you have already tasted the goodness of the Lord. You know, we're not talking about milkshakes at the diner, drive-in, or dive this morning. The Wycliffe Bible, as now born young children, reasonable without guile, covet ye milk of full teaching. That in it ye wax into health. Pure milk. Sincere milk, unadulterated milk, milk of full teaching. You know, I think of children's ministries. They need provide sincere milk. They need provide pure milk. They need provide unadulterated milk, milk of full teaching. New believers' ministries, they need provide pure, sincere, unadulterated milk, milk of full teaching. This milk type, it has meat in it. Essence, core, substance, heart. This is no weak milk. This divine organic milk type is costly. It costs more than watered down milk, than milk full of sugar, than milk full of synthetic additives. It's tragic. The tragic ramifications to health when one is provided with, or when one craves or covets inferior milk. Only pure provision mixed with craving and coveting of milk of full teaching can wax us into health. The steakhouse. You know, I've taken an infant to the steakhouse. No, not feeding them steak, but they can be in the place, even though for now they need sincere milk. We're talking about the environment, the sights and sounds, the aroma in the air. And when they grow a little and grow enough, you're cutting the steak real small. so they can partake of it. Progression, growth and growing, maturing, ability to chew, teeth forming, waxing into health. And now there's a high chair at the table. At the table in the steakhouse. And then there's a booster seat. And soon they're occupying a full seat at the table in the steakhouse. Their hands holding a menu. Waxed into health. Full grown. And the waiter or waitresses, they come to the table and they ask them of age, have you decided what you'd like to order? Can you imagine? Well, I mean, I've been looking at the menu and I don't see milk. Got milk? The sincere milk of the word of full teaching will never lose its power or place. But we're on to meat now. And stronger meat now. Strong meat now. Hebrews 5 and 1 Peter 2, milk, metaphor for the less difficult Christian truths. Now, it does not mean they aren't important. No, not at all. Thank God for the sincere milk. Thank God for the houses that still provide it. Thank God for the steakhouse, church houses that have it on the menu. You know, I've not seen in the natural a newborn yet eating steak and longing for it. But you know, miracles happen. Miracles happen in the supernatural. I guess I have seen newborns taking in both sincere milk and strong meat. We must progress. We must grow. We must mature. Strength to strength. Glory to glory. Church, I am in no way suggesting today that the steak is worth more than the milk. We cannot play this concerning the word and kingdom elements. And yet I know this, when we've grown and should be on strong meat. We should be on strong meat. Somebody's saying, but wait, steak costs. The steakhouse costs. Yeah, we should be willing and even wanting and honored to pay the price. I guess in this sense, and at this stage, the steak does cost more than the milk, as it should. Is this why some hardly frequent the steakhouse? The steakhouse? Is this why some have left off eating at the steakhouse? We all have the funds, the means. But milk is all they want to afford and all they can afford. And tragically, some having forsaken steak for milk, even forsake sincere milk for milk with synthetic additives, inferior milk, watered milk, sugar milk, even milk substitutes. Unable to bear meat, need milk, not strong meat, having become such a babe. Further words today, our text talks of strong and solid meat, and it describes the persons who are to feed thereon. While the context gives a mild rebuke to those by reason of indolence and sloth, those that have not attained to years of discernment and cannot therefore feed on a substantial diet. That line from the message, you know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. An infant eats to live, is fed to live. An infant knows no other menu. They need milk. They even crave milk. They cry out for it when they are hungry, and they'll cry out for it when hungry again. It's the sign of a newborn. One of the signs, this craving of milk. As a newborn in the kingdom, is their desire, is their craving. It's one of the signs. It really is. It's how it should be. They cry out for the milk when they're hungry, and they'll cry out for it when hungry again. This is health, and this is healthy. And the infant grows into a child. I mean, aren't we praying? Aren't we believing for children in the kingdom and young believers in the kingdom that can put down some strong meat? I know some of the topics and doctrines and texts might need to be broken down to help, but my Lord, this hour calls for divine fast-tracking. An infant eats to live. In some cases, lives to eat. A child eats to live and often lives to eat. A teenager eats to live and they can sure live to eat. Lord, let it be in your kingdom. Let's press on. Steak costs. Steak costs more. The steakhouse costs. The steakhouse costs more, especially number one steakhouse. Willing to pay the price? Am I, individual, willing to pay the price? Am I willing to pay the price for my family? Am I willing to pay the price for children? Am I willing to take them there even when real young, that they get familiar with the place, the environment, the flow of the steakhouse, and learn how to be mannerly in the steakhouse? We're just going to let the Spirit speak today. A steakhouse, a steak church, costs more. Costs more as it calls for more, but really it calls for what is kingdom standard. A steakhouse diet, a steak church diet costs more. Costs more as it demands more. But it's worth it. It's so worth it. And it'll always be worth it because it waxes into health and greater strength. Glory to glory, strength to strength. You see, it costs more, but it's worth it because it produces soldiers in the kingdom. It produces warriors in the kingdom. It produces captains in the kingdom, giants in the kingdom, heroes in the kingdom. It produces pillars in the kingdom. I don't know how some places are standing. They got no pillars. And often they don't stand for long. Too costly. I mean, we can't afford that. And so off to a diner house or a cafe house or a milkshake house. No names today. Not the intent. No references today. Not the intent. Kingdom teeth have grown for a reason. Chewing power, eating power, that one might wax into greater strength. Skip the dishes. order online. Teach young believers how to eat steak at the steakhouse. Teach your children how to eat steak at the steakhouse. Let them get a taste for it and develop a taste for it. Take them to the steakhouse, for God's sake. Let them get hooked until all they do is ask to go to number one steakhouse for strong meat. I was glad when they said unto me. Train up in the way and in the way they should go. Beware the fast food chains and drive-thrus. Beware the TV dinners. Beware the online orders. Beware the junk food. Beware the meals in bed. Beware the slumber. Beware the skipped meals. Metabolism, health, strength, growth. You're like, I'm just fine. Everything's just fine. Well, head to the doctor for a check and assessment. Iron deficient. Iron deficient? Yeah, you need meat. You need strong meat that you wax into strength. You got no energy. You got no kingdom energy. Covet ye steak of full teaching, that in it ye wax into health. Yeah, we know there are different steaks, different levels of steaks. The less expensive cuts, the more expensive cuts, the seasoned cuts, the aged cuts. I mean, they're even massaging cows these days. What a world. Concerning kingdom meat, every cut is of great worth. You know what I'm talking about. Sitting in number one steakhouse, you know, if price wasn't an issue, if time wasn't an issue, if perception wasn't an issue, if directed indignancy wasn't an issue, would we not order the prime rib, the filet, the tomahawk, the Wagyu, the Kobe? And don't worry, this steak diet never negatively affects health. It only waxes one into greater and greater health. You know why some go find a cheaper menu? The fast food menu and online menu, because the steakhouse always costs more. You know why some go find a church with a cheaper menu, a fast food menu, an online menu? Because the steakhouse always costs more. Some tragically let their children dictate the menu, the diet, the place, or no place. Inferior arches, not so golden. And I pray for you. We sincerely pray for you. In the natural, we may not all be able to frequent and eat at the same restaurant, but spiritually speaking, we can all afford the same if we choose to afford the same. It's just a matter of willing to pay the price. We can all eat at the steakhouse, at number one steakhouse. And you know, once you're hooked, once you're truly hooked, you're hooked for life. Deuteronomy 14:26, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. It's the way it should be, people. The voice, you and your household can have a feast in his presence. The NLT, feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. The NIV, and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. I mean, this is so good. The Message paraphrase, you and your family can then feast in the presence of God, your God, and have a good time. Have a good time. You're in God's house. What's on the table today? Can't wait. Psalm 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Oh, can you imagine if we were all at the level of the psalmist? That was the cry of our hearts. The Message, one day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands I know the context. This context, yet have a listen. Reading from the Message, Matthew 22, verse 4. He sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast. Psalm 63, 2-5. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. Yes, in the natural, we may not all be able to frequent and eat at the same establishments, the same restaurants, but spiritually speaking, we can. And we can all afford the same. It's just a matter of being willing to afford it. Being willing to pay the price. No mention of locations today, not the intent. You know, the steakhouse isn't always the biggest and most popular or frequented. And you know, it costs to keep a steakhouse open, especially when numbers are fluctuating. But that's okay, for the Lord has called us to serve strong meat. We are in the steak business, in the steakhouse business. And yeah, when the little ones come in, we've got sincere milk. We've got milk of full strength. We're keeping the menu the same. One generation to the next, we're keeping the menu the same. Keep the menu the same. We're keeping the menu the same. I mean, the plates might look new, the decor might look a little different, but the strength and quality of the milk and the meat will never change. Always a spot, an opening, always a reservation for the having. Billy Graham said, suppose someone should offer me a plate full of crumbs after I had eaten a T-bone steak. I would say, no, thank you. I'm already satisfied. Christian, that is the secret. You can be so filled with the things of Christ, so enamored with the things of God, that you do not have the time for the sinful pleasures of the world. Kingdom meat, not worldly crumbs. We can eat steak at home too. Someone's been thinking that the whole time. We can eat steak at home too. And we should. We should. But let's settle this. Real steak eaters don't forsake the steakhouse. And they don't get sick of the steak, for it's heavenly and tastes divinely new each time. I so love that line. It's worth repeating. No, thank you. I'm already satisfied. Christian, that is the secret. You can be so filled with the things of Christ, so enamored with the things of God, that you do not have time for the sinful pleasures of the world. Come on, sons. Come on, daughters. Fill up. Eat. Desire, crave. So very true. The message, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. You see, it's both now. I don't know about you, but I feel it. I know it. I testify. Eat to live. I need the strong meat. Live to eat. I want the strong meat. Preach to us. As old Master Brooks says, there are some few believers who seem to be born with beards. They are ripe Christians at a very early stage of their spiritual existence. And there are some who, If they tarry at Jericho till their beards be grown, will be long in seeing the king's face. They are always babes, needing the spoon and the rocking chair, even in old age. The expression in the text, then, has no reference to age, but is used in a spiritual and metaphorical sense. But what is meant by men that are full grown? Well, you know a babe. You know a babe has the same parts as a man. The babe is perfect in its measure, but it is not perfectly perfect. Those limbs must expand. The little hand must get a wider grasp. The trembling feet must become strong pillars for ripening manhood. The man must swell and grow and expand and enlarge and be consolidated. Now, when we are born to God, we have all the parts of the advanced Christian. Faith, hope, love, patience, they are all there. But they are all little, all in miniature. And they must all grow. And he is a full age whose faith is vigorous, those whose love is inflamed, whose patience is constant, whose hope is bright, who has every grace in full fashion. Nor is it only development. The full grown man is stronger than the babe. His sinews are knit. His bones have become more full of solid material. They are no longer soft, cartilaginous. There is more solid matter in them. So with the advanced Christian, he is no longer to be bent about and twisted. His bones are as iron and his muscles as steel. He moveth himself in stately paces. Neither needeth he any upon whom to lean. He can plow the soil or reap the corn. Deeds that were impossible to infancy are simplicities to the full-grown man. Now you understand. Now you understand what the full-grown Christian is. He can do and dare and suffer what would have frightened him aforetime. He can fight with dragons, though he once would have fled before a grasshopper. He can now endure to pass through deep waters, though once a little brook would have swept them away. There is as much difference, in fact, between the full-grown Christian and the newly born convert as between the strong, hale, hearty man of 40 and a babe of 3 or 4. You know, the full-grown Christian, the strong, hale, hearty Christian, keeps eating meat. Keeps eating strong meat. They eat to live and they live to eat. There's this hunger, there's this desire, there's a craving in them. Now I want to encourage us today in closing concerning this. How God justifies and has justified. When we surrender to the Lord, when we surrender our lives to Him, He is fully committed to both save and keep us. He does not save, rescue, and then leave us. He is a keeper. He is the keeper. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. I don't know if you've got that in your Bible. If you don't, get another translation. It says he will complete it. God is not a man that he should lie. He will save and he will keep. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Committed to him and he is committed to us. Fully committed. And so I share these words today, the words of David Wilkerson. Understanding how God justifies his people is not for babies. It is a truth for full-grown believers. Yet many Christians are still babies, drinking milk and refusing to go on to the meat of the word of righteousness. All they understand is forgiveness of their sins. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, Hebrews 5:13-14. Milk is for babies. And babies need constant attention. They feel good only when their mother is in the room. And when she leaves, they cry out with fear. they have to be able to see her, to feel her, to touch her in order to feel secure. Likewise, the believer who remains on milk lives in constant dread of his salvation. He is never at ease with the Heavenly Father. Instead, he is always uptight, thinking God is ready to send him to hell every time he fails. He does not know or understand his position in Christ, and therefore he never knows the peace of God. He cannot believe that God is fully committed to save and keep him. Paul says in his word that there is meat available to us, food that will cause us to grow into maturity, to become men and women in Christ and develop into full stature as believers. Beloved, this meat is the truth concerning Christ's perfect righteousness. Understanding it allows you to remain secure in your salvation. You don't have to fear that God will forsake you every time you slip and fall. No, you will have victory. If you do not have this truth, the devil will play havoc with your feelings. He'll lie to you and push you around. Unless you have this truth as a foundation under everything you believe in, nothing will be right in your doctrine, your theology, your life. You can't even obey God until you understand it. You have to be convinced that nothing you can ever do will produce an acceptable righteousness before God. It has to come from another source. When I stand at the judgment seat, I have no other plea but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's have the worship ministry return, please. You know, after today, you may never look at a glass of milk the same. I sure hope. May never look at a steak the same. Every time we pass the milk section, the supermarket, every time we pass a steakhouse on our journeys. And you know, the strongest man in the world once needed sincere milk. Think about it. Pure milk. Unadulterated milk. The strongest man in the world. There is meat for the body, soul, and spirit. Lord, for spirit, soul, and body for the meat. People of God, let's labor to arrive at full age. Let's grow. Glory to glory, strength to strength, with the help of our Savior and Keeper, with the help of His house, His personnel, His attendants, His servers, His patrons, along with the sincere milk and strong meat that lives on the table in our homes. And let's not fall back. Let's not let the diet slip. This world has its menu. The world has its fare. The world has its diet. The world has its cuisine. Partake, and we will always remain worldly. And worldlings, the Lord offers us more. The Lord offers us so much more. Now, to the ones that are not saved, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that you can be saved. I see him. I see him. Standing at the door. He's standing at your door. He's standing at your door with takeout. Because you're not yet part of the steakhouse crowd. You've come today, and if you've experienced the environment, you've seen how the servants carry themselves, you've witnessed the wonder of the greater Solomon's kingdom, perhaps it's taken your breath away. Perhaps it has not, for it's been long since you truly had breath. You're in his house, but you're not a part of it. But he's standing at the door of your heart. Your residence, your life. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens it, listen to these words. I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He stands at the door. He knocks. He speaks and he calls. We must hear and we must open the door. We need him. We all need him. For how else does one prepare to meet thy God? For there is God. And yet how does one live life with the door closed, shut? The Savior, our only hope, the only Savior, Jesus Christ on the outs. But you know what? He's never on the outs. It is we who are. If he isn't inside, if he isn't inside with us and inside us in our residence, in our life, behold, take notice, he stands at the door knocking. If you will hear his voice and open the door, he will come into you and dine with you and you with him. Today is the day. This is the hour. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Reservation. There's a table waiting for you. A table ready for you. Come and take a seat. Pick up the menu. You know, I know the owner, and there's none like him, and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Enough strong meat. Lasts for all history. You know, to be like Jesus. I don't know about you, I think when I accepted Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered my life to Jesus. I said, I want to follow you. I want to be like you. I don't just want you to save me. I want you to keep me. Strength to strength, glory to glory. I want to grow, Jesus. Right now, I can't even really carry myself. I can't walk. I can't help myself. I'm like that newborn babe. I need pure milk. I need unadulterated milk. I need sincere milk. But, you know, I start growing. We start growing. It's beautiful. I want to be like Jesus. You know what Jesus said to his disciples one day? This is what he said. He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I guess they weren't there yet. But they were following Jesus. They were walking with Jesus. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You're like, what in the world does that mean? Well, if you knew the text, you'd know the answer. He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat, my strong meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Sincere milk to strong meat. You're saying today, perhaps you've never said it before, you know, in the natural. You're a vegan, you're a vegetarian, I don't know what you are, and that's all right. But you're saying today, you're making a declaration, you're saying, I want to be a meat eater. Maybe there's a young person in the house that's saying, I want to be a meat eater. Maybe there's someone in the house, you've been coming to church for a long, long time, but all you can handle, all you can put down is the pure milk, the sincere milk. You got teeth for a reason. It's time to grow. It's time to develop. It's time to see the parts. Become what they can be. Become enamored with the things of God. All of us. For all days. I want to know like Jesus. I want the know not of like Jesus. He's saying I want to grow. Infancy. To full growth. You know, until we meet Jesus, until we go to glory, we're not done growing, people. And we don't get to the point where we just say, hey, I've eaten enough steak. I've eaten enough strong meat. No, we keep eating. Because we eat to live. And we live to eat. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.